2 Timothy chapter 3, let's stand to our feet this morning if we would. Let's begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We certainly love you and thank you for saving us. And thank you for being the light that shined in our heart one day and showed us in darkness that we were lost and that we needed to trust you. And Lord, I thank you for that night that I trusted you. I pray if there's one here lost, they'd come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that needs help, I pray you'd grant them help, but help us. While we stand to preach, we certainly need you to come by and stir in our hearts and give us unction from the Holy One. And we'll certainly preach what you give us. And Lord, I believe this will be the message for the hour. And I pray you touch and help today for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When I went to my study to begin to study for this morning, this was not the message that I thought that I would be preaching this morning. But as I sat down and began to pray, and I'd already started to scribble some things out back in the week and of what I might preach this morning, and when thoughts come to me, I just write them down, and just maybe one little sentence on a piece of paper. I may get some thoughts, and I just scratch them out. And so I really thought that I'd preach that, but as I went to my study and began to pray, and I really began to talk to the Lord, this is where He led me to, and this is what we're going to preach. I want to preach, having a thought this morning, on living in the last days. I preached the last Sunday night on two types of the rapture in the Old Testament. And I believe the rapture is soon to come. But church, I believe that we're not only living in the last days, but we're living in the last of the last days. I want you to take your Bible and just flip over a little bit from the text scripture and go to the book of Hebrews. Now go to the book of Hebrews and look in chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, as the writer says here, he says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And so we understand that. We understand the Old Testament patriarch, the prophets, and those of that time God spoke to, by the prophets, and he sent his word. But look in verse 2, hath in these last days. So the writer of Hebrews said, in these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Notice, let me say this, that word worlds is plural and not singular. I heard somebody say, just last night, words mean things. We think words don't mean anything, but words mean things. And he said right here that it was by Christ that he created and made the worlds. Just not the world that we're standing on, but all of them that's been made. According to the book of Colossians, there wasn't anything made that was not made without him. Amen, if I said that right. Anyway, he made it all. Let me say that. But notice that he said right here, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the writer of the book of Hebrews counted the day that they lived in as last days. And so if last days was in the book of Hebrews, what does that mean almost some 2,000 years later to us? Now can I tell you, to God that is a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And so to him, almost 2,000 years ain't even made 2 days yet, and so he's not got in a hurry. But let me say this, that it's been by the grace of God that he has held back his wrath and his judgment to let folk get saved in this day and age. But I want to look at living in the last days. Let me say that real quickly by way of introduction, that people believe, or at least they live like, they're going to live forever. I mean, the world out here, you can tell them Jesus is coming, you can tell them the world's coming to an end, and it seems like nobody and that really cares about what's going on. Brother Bob made a statement this morning as he was closing Sunday school out, and he said it seems like in the darkness of the world that we would be shining brighter, that the light would be brighter, but it's really the light brighter than it's ever been. We ought to be the brightest we've ever been, because the darkness is as dark as it's ever been. Yet we ought to be as bright as we can today. But you know what it said in Matthew chapter 24 when it talked about the days of Noah? It said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came. I quoted that last week. Notice what he said. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hey, listen, that we can. Do you not think they seen that man out there building a boat? That man that was going to carry all the animals on the earth, plus his family and whoever else would want to get on it. Don't you think they stood and looked at that? And he's telling them it's going. Hey, the Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. I believe Noah told him it's going to rain. I believe he said, "Get on the boat, get on the ark. Hey, God's going to send a flood. You need to get ready." But the Bible said right here that what? That they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. What do you think is going to happen to the world out here? We can cry and preach, and you know what? God will shine light in folks' hearts. But until they believe what we're telling them, it's not going to change anything. But that don't mean we ain't to tell them. I'll get there in a minute. But folk ain't looking for it. And folk don't seem to be concerned about the end time or their death. You realize you can get snuffed out at any time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's an end to everything. There's a start to everything, but then there's an end to everything. Your life's going to end one day. Hebrews 9:27 has appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We understand that. We know that, that our life is going to come to an end, either by way of death or in that, by the way of the rapture, where our life as we know it is going to end. And so you need to be ready. And so we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, this world is going to end, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It's all going to just flash away, and it'll be gone. And so I believe that today we're living in the last days. Number one, and I use this word very lightly, the signs of the last days. I believe we find it right here that, first of all, it's dangerous times. If you look, he says, this know also, so he wanted you to know something, wanted me to know something. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, that's what that word perilous means, dangerous times. He said dangerous times, perilous times shall come. And then he explains why dangerous times are going to come. I really believe that this here, verses 2 through 6, or verses 2 through 5, complement, or they explain verse 1, if you would let me say that. I know they'll stand by themselves, I realize that, but dangerous times come because of verses 2 through 5, because of men shall be lovers of their own self. Folk, just they don't care for their neighbor today, do they? I mean, all they care about is their own self. And he goes on to explain that a little further, and he said their covetousness. All the world wants is want, ain't it? Want and have and want and have. That's why we're so far in debt today that we can't see out. That's why our nation is so far in debt today that we can't see out. Man, somebody ought to jump up and said amen right there. I mean, listen, I was listening to an old song that was rolled, or at least, you remember who Grandpa Jones was? I was listening to him sing the other day, singing in 1951, "I'm No Communist." Oh, that's a pretty good song. Y'all ought to go look that thing up. Him singing, "I'm No Communist." But he was talking about then in that song, listen, you think what we're facing today is new? It ain't new. Government's been corrupt for years, friend. I mean, we're just facing a new day of it, but they've been corrupt for years. And let me say this. I'll get on my soapbox for just a bit. You know, I do get concerned about who is sitting in the president's chair. But you want to know who scares me more than the wrong man in the president's chair? Them people that's been up there for 40 years and it's doing things behind the scenes and in darkness that we don't know nothing about. That's what scares me. Hey, listen, what they're telling me on the news, I do get a little concerned, but it's the stuff they ain't telling me that I really get concerned about. If you don't think they're up there hiding stuff, you're crazy, friend. Let me get off that and move on. But he talked about in that song, I talked about how the national debt was just piling up and piling up. Hey, listen, that, and I mean this respectfully, but that old man didn't know nothing compared to what it looks like today. And listen, they're handing money out left and right. People's wanting covetousness. They're giving them stuff without people working for it. Amen. I mean, that's been the problem, friend. Hey, listen, if you can't work, that's one thing. But that's not what I'm worried about. That's not what the Bible talks about. Those who can't work, the poor that can't work, we'll take care of them. But if you can work, you ought to go to work. Amen. I still work today, son. I learned a long time ago, I tell preachers when they decide that they're going to go full time. You know, I went full time here in 2009. And even in 2009, Brother Jeff down here, he was running the machine shop at that time. And me and him had something worked out that every Monday, if there was something broke, he'd have a list ready for me to come to work. I'd go in and work for about 8 hours. Well, I showed up for 8 hours. And I ain't sure how much work I done more talking than I did working most of the time. But did Brother Jeff say amen right there? I think I heard him say that. But I will tell these preachers when they get ready to go full time, you need to learn how to stay busy. Whether it is by work, whether you do it in the church, or if the church does not have enough work time, I mean, to keep you busy, you need to see your mind needs to stay busy at something. Well, I told a preacher one time, he called me, and me and Kelly were coming back from Oklahoma, and I'll get going here in a minute, and we were coming into Arkansas, and I remember he called me just as we come into Arkansas. And I pretty much talked to him the whole trip through Arkansas. I remember I hung up by the time we got to Memphis. And one of the things that I told him is his church is going to put him on full time is if you're not going to be able to stay busy in the ministry all the time, you better find something to stay busy at. Because when your mind becomes idle and your hands become idle, then the devil begins to sink in and he begins to work on you. Hey, listen, you know one of the problems that you find in the book of Ezekiel over there when it talks about Sodom? One of the problems they talked about was idleness. And one of the problems that we have is folk want to be idle today, but yet they want stuff. You know what I learned a long time ago? If I want something, I go work for it, make money at it, and then I go buy it. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Hello, but that's good. Notice he said they're not only covetous. I'm going to get off that and move on. They're boasters. They're boasters. And then he comes on down to the next and says they're proud. You know, they boast about what they accomplished. They're proud in everything that they do. And even the sinners today, they're proud about the sin that they're in. I forget who it was. I was talking to somebody the other day. And they were talking about the pride parade that was going on up at Knoxville. You know, nobody's ashamed of their sin anymore. Nobody's ashamed of it. They're proud of it. He said they're blasphemers. They speak against the God of heaven. And they have no respect to the God of heaven. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So they're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, and then they're blasphemers. Boy, that's today, ain't it? I mean, folk, they have no use for God. They talk bad about God. And then he kind of shifts gears, and he said they're disobedient to parents. Now, we can look at children and being disobedient to parents. But, you know, these young'uns, they're disobedient till you teach them not to be disobedient. That's what children do. They have a will of their own, and they're going to flex their will until you correct them. That's what a parent's job is to correct and raise their children and punish their child when punishment is needed. That's just the way it is. If you don't think so, read your Bible. Read the book of Proverbs over and over and over again. But I'm not so sure that this is what he is referring to when he talks about being disobedient to parents. As they get older, you know, as I got older, I learned to obey my parents. Even today, Moses, when he brought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt over there, in the book of Exodus chapter 20, when he says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth." And Paul said that was the first commandment with promise. Listen, I believe that even when I get to the age that I am now, I'm to obey my parents. As long as they ain't asking me to do something out of the will of God, I believe I could obey them, amen, and should obey them. Their mom and dad. But I believe there is a time in there that child, and we are in that time today when children are not made to obey, and he said that they're disobedient to parents. They do not obey. You ever seen a time when children don't obey? Mom, dads don't make children obey. You know what? If you don't make them obey, they won't obey. I remember, and I told you this here a while back, one of the worst things you could ever do to me, Mama could wire me out and it wouldn't faze me, but if she put me in that chair right there and said, "Sit there," that would kill me. I can't say it. Sometimes you just got to make them obey. Unthankful. Boy, we've got a generation of unthankfulness. Go back and read Romans 1. I believe he talks about the same thing. Disobedient to parents and being unthankful. Folk are unthankful. They think they're entitled. I'm talking about living in the last days. If everything I've read, does it line up with today? He said they're unthankful. You realize that people think, they think that the government owes them something. They think we owe them something. Ain't nobody owes me. You know, the only thing that we owe to people is to love them. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul says. The only thing we owe to people is to love them. I mean, listen, I believe that we're honestly and truthfully living in the last days. I mean, we've, and I'm just talking about America. I don't know how it is anywhere else, but I live in America. And listen, folk are so seem to be so unthankful. And he says they're unholy. No separate. Now, listen, let me back up here. Let me back up here and say this for a minute. How many church people would fit into this? To be boasters and proud. Lovers of their own self. You know, he comes on down through, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But he talks about in verse 4 being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'll guarantee you there's more people out here today doing what they want to do and what is pleasurable to them, whether it's lay in the bed or go somewhere and do something, whether it's in the mountains or on the lake or up in Pigeon Forge or wherever, and I ain't got a problem with none of that as long as you ain't doing it on God's time. But he said they're unholy. There's no separation. There's no living right. You know, holiness means to live righteously and to live close to God and live out of this world. To be without natural affection. Liken that to mamas that don't love their children. It is natural for a boy to like a girl and a girl to like a boy. I don't have to give you a science class on that. That's natural. Romans chapter 1 talks about how that the women do that with which are unseemly. And he says those things which are against nature. There are some things that are just natural. And he said right here there are those without natural affection. You know, it should be natural for you to love life. It should be natural for you to love life. And so when a man takes somebody else's life, on purpose especially. I mean, to plan out and to commit a murder is without natural affection. Truce breakers. We've got them in our government. False accusers. Those that lie. Boy, I can talk a lot about the media there. Incontinent. Those that cannot restrain themselves or will not restrain themselves. People have no restraint at all today. Fierce. That word means violent or wild or very savage, you know. When you have no natural affection, you know what happens? Things get fierce, don't they? This has always been one of mine that has stuck out to me when we come to the very next one or the very last one in verse 3. He said, despisers of those that are good. Just because you want to do right and be good, people despise you. I mean, that's a sign, if I can use that word, that is a sign of the last day. Folk will despise you. And I know we're in Southeast Tennessee. I understand that. And how we live here and how folk are sheltered. But I'm going to tell you, there are people that will hate you because you simply just want to do good and do right. You want to help your neighbor. You want to think right. You want to be right. You want to raise your children right. You want to serve God right. You just want to do everything right and do everything good. And people will hate you for that. There's people in the church that will despise you. Because of that. He said they're traitors. They'll go back on their word. But more than that, they will betray a trust and violate the allegiance of their own country. Well, we've had that, hadn't we? Traitors. I think one of the biggest ones we remember being told of in school was Benedict Arnold, wasn't it? And he has got synonymous to be a traitor to the United States, back to the British government. There is a lot of traitors, we just don't hear about them. Folk that sell out our nation and our country. There's a lot of traitors that have sold out the church. Heady. That means one that is rushful or runs into violence and anger. To be high-minded, that's arrogant. You say, well, you're a pretty high-minded preacher to think you're right and everybody else is wrong. No, the Bible's right. That's what I believe is right, is the Bible. Not me. Not what I think. I think what I think because of this book right here. Everybody else out in the world thinks what they think because that's the way they want to think. I've got something to stand on. I'm talking about living in the last days, the signs of the last days. He said they're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They want to be out in the world more than they want to serve God. Want to be hooked up with the world more than they want to be hooked up with God. Then he said having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of religious people, but listen, there ain't nothing to them. A lot of religions around here. A lot of, let me say this, those that claim Christ but don't know Christ. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Hey, listen, if you're going to live godly and have godliness in your life, there's power that comes with that, by the way. Amen. You're going to live godly and live right, I'll guarantee you the power of God can be and will be in your life if you'll do that today. It just seems that folk want to be religious, but that's as far as it wants to go. And so all these things create a dangerous time. We're living in dangerous times, ain't we? Some of you all can remember when you would leave the door unlocked. Some of y'all can remember when you didn't even have a door on the house and go to bed and the door would still be standing open if there was a door. I better be careful what I say here, how I got back into my house. But you know, the other day, I've been married for 27 years. In 27 years, I've never locked myself out of the house until the other day. I pulled the door to, and as I reached in my pocket to get my key to lock the deadbolt, I thought, uh-oh. You know why we deadbolt our door at the house? Keep people out. You know, we deadbolt it when we go to bed at night. Keep people out.
You say, preacher, you think that's going to keep them out?
No, but I hope that created enough racket that I could hear them before they got in. It's dangerous times. You could usually leave your keys in the car and nobody'd steal it. Didn't used to have to worry about anybody hurting you or hurting your children. You can let your children play out in the yard and now you got to watch them so tight because you're afraid somebody's going to carry them off or that somebody's going to hurt them. Dangerous times. I remember when we could used to take off on a bicycle and go down the road and go as far as we wanted to go and our parents didn't have to worry about anything. The greatest thing, if we done wrong, somebody else would fix it. They'd correct us. Dangerous times. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said this in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We see it's dangerous times, but then we find those that depart from the faith. Folk that say they believe right or they lived right, trusted God, got saved, that want to do right. But then he said there's times, in the latter times, some shall depart. In other words, that means leave the faith. What is right? Paul put it another way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, talking about the end time, except there come a falling away first. COVID has shined a light on a lot of things. And one of the things that it shined a light on was whether or not people want to serve God. You say, well, preacher, serving God does not become contingent on coming to church. Let me put to you about the church. Christ died for the church. Do you not think, and I know you're here this morning, I'm so glad you're here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So when this goes out on radio, and this goes out on video, and I want it to ring in mine and yours, yours both, if he died for it, do you not think he wants you to be part of it? And so we've seen a great falling away from church. We've seen a great falling away from the truth of the Word of God and the faithfulness to the Word of God. As I studied this, I thought about a quote that Adrian Rogers made one time. And I went and found it to make sure he said it. You know, you hear a lot of things that people say and then come to find out, well, they probably didn't say it. But when Adrian Rogers was president of the Southern Baptist Convention, while he was, I believe he pastored Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis from 1972 all the way up, I can't, was it 2000, and so, or 2000 in the 90s into 2000, that he pastored there. And for three times he was president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I believe from 80 to 81 and then from 86 to 88, something like that. And they were, if you remember, and I grew up in Southern Baptist Church, and back in the 80s and the 90s, they really had a problem, the convention did, trying to settle the infallibility and the inspiration of God's Word, the Bible. Now the argument wasn't on what was the Bible, but was the Bible really real? You'd think people in church wouldn't have to have that argument, would you? And so here's what happened. They said in 1987, in June of 87, as they were, I won't say arguments, they were discussing. One of the lawyers there, and the article I read said he was of the moderate sect. In other words, the liberal. You know, they wouldn't be called liberals back in the 80s, so they started calling themselves moderates, you know. Moderate's just a liberal that don't want to be called a liberal. You can say amen right there. One lawyer that was there told Brother Rogers, Adrian, if you don't compromise, we'll never get together. And this is what he said. I'm willing to compromise about many things, but not the Word of God. So far as getting along together is concerned, we don't have to get together. The Southern Baptist Convention, as it is, does not have to survive. I don't have to be the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church. I don't have to be loved. I don't even have to live, but I will not compromise the Word of God. I'm not sure exactly what he believed on the preservation of the Word of God, because later on in years, he didn't use the King James Bible, but I will say this, that he made a stand on what he believed right there. And I do keep up with the convention, because we've got Baptists down here on our sign. That's what we are. We're Baptists. You know, there was Baptists long before the convention ever come around. Amen. And there'll be Baptists long after the convention rolls to a stop. Now, we're independent. We don't worry about the convention, but I keep up with what's going on in it. And I'm telling you, they're in a mess right now. There's folk that are departing the faith. They're departing. I'm not talking about what Baptists believe. I'm talking about what the Bible says, and the Bible is plain about. They're departing that. And the reason they're departing that is it says right here that they're giving heed to seducing spirits. That seducing spirit is one that draws you away. Is one that makes you, as you're seduced by the devil and his doctrines, how can I say this? It draws you away from what is right. And when you open the door to that, to satisfy your feelings and to satisfy what you think. Do you know that I've had to change my mind on things that I've thought over the years when the light of God's Word showed me different? You got to do that. You know, one of the things that the convention's having problems with right now is women preachers. That's real easy. I mean, I think the Bible's plain on it. I think it's very plain on it. God didn't call women to preach. And I know that my wife can preach better than I can some days. You all will catch that here after a while. Man, she gave me a good 4-point outline one time. I ain't preached it yet. It was good. I thought, man, that's real good. What was it on? Oh, the Bradford pear tree. Y'all think about a Bradford pear for a little while. Ain't no fruit on it, but it bears the name of a fruit tree. You know a Bradford pear tree can't stand up to a storm? Do you know that? But it's awful pretty, ain't it, when it blooms? Just give you some things to think about. You can thank Miss Latham for that. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so doctrine is that simply which that is taught. And so that which is taught is coming from the devil. So when it leads you astray from the Word of God, who's it coming from? It's coming from the devil. There has to be, or there will be, a falling away. Before the Antichrist comes, there will be a falling away. Before the end time comes, there will be a falling away. And he said they will depart from the faith. Would you say people have departed from the faith? See, we think people are going to depart from the faith just like that, just overnight. Well, they believe today and tomorrow they don't. No, it was a slow progress. And we're talking about decades that folk have departed from the faith. Some of y'all can remember when people believed right, they done right, and they went to church. And not only did they go to church, but they lived right in their home, or they strived to live right in their home. They wanted to live right. Signs of the last days. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. I've got to hurry. I knew that this was going to happen. It's going to get bogged down if I wasn't careful. 2 Peter chapter 3, we find that not only is it dangerous times because of the way men live, and then they will depart from the faith. You stand on what you know to be the truth. You can read and God can enlighten you. Amen to the truth. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, then you'll find the deniers of his second coming. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's a bad argument. Well, since creation, there ain't nothing changed, preacher.
Well, there's all kinds of things changed since creation.
And he even gives us here. He says, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. I really believe that's Noah's flood. Now, you can get in an argument about the gap theory, and I got a preacher friend of mine that I love dearly, and I asked him one day, I said, do you believe in the gap theory? And I taught on that, and he said, no, but I believe in the gap fact. I said, well, you can call it a fact, I call it a theory. Amen. Not only has things remained the same that they're willingly ignorant of, we understand Noah's flood, but even before that, we understand the Tower of Babel, don't we? When God scattered everything and changed all the land. I mean, there's just, things are not the same. And that's my argument today, that is, people deny the second coming. When they deny the rapture of the church, and I know those two are separate. They deny that and they say, where is the promise of His coming? If you come down to verse 9, after he talks about in verse 8, you know, 1,000 days, 1,000 years is with the Lord is one day, you know. Then verse 9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Well, what promise? What promise of His coming? He says, some men count slackness, but His own suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why Christ ain't come yet? He wants folk to get saved. I really believe that's what verse 9 is talking about. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. God's going to keep His promise. Even though men deny the promise of God, and they deny the very fact that He's coming again, and they don't want to think about that, He's coming again. God will keep His promise. Signs of the last time is folk will deny Him coming. It'll be dangerous times, and they'll depart from the faith. But what are saints supposed to do in the last day? If we go back to the text verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to hurry right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Is that where I need to be? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, but thou, now after he tells them all these things, it's going to come to pass. He talks about, you know, they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And talk about those that withstood Moses there in verse 8. How they'd proceed no longer in verse 9. But in verse 10, he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. No one of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We keep doing what we know to do. We continue in what is right. We continue in the faith. We continue living for God. We continue being faithful to God. We just continue doing what we know is right. Notice what Paul said right here. He said in all this. He said in all this. He said, look. He said what right here? He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose and faith, long suffering, charity and patience. He said, you know how I live. In everything that I've been through, you know how I live. In the last days, we ought to have those that description of our life. He said there's persecution and afflictions came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He said, in the midst of all that, though, he said, I've lived just like I'm supposed to live. In the midst of whether anybody else likes me or wants me to live that way, I'm going to live that way. You're going to find more people out in the world and some in church
that are not going to like you live right. I'll be honest with you, I like living right. I like being right. I like treating my neighbor good. I like coming to church. I like singing the old songs of Zion. I like listening to Bible preaching. Went to a funeral yesterday and heard the preacher preaching. Man, he done a great job preaching on the love of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he talked about the rapture of the church, he comes down to the very last verse after he talked about the rapture, and he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. No matter what happens, we need to be faithful. We need to continue in what is right. We know that folk are going to be against us. We know the world's going to be the way they're going to be. We know that church and folk in church, not everybody's going to be saved. Not everybody's going to think right and do right. But we need to keep on living right and doing right. We need to caution folk that the end is coming. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Nobody else had that. But we've got Christ in us. He said, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know why you have hope for glory? Let me say it that way. The hope of glory. We have hope in us now. But you know what our hope for glory is? Christ. Whom we preach, and then Paul said this, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Take your Bible and go to the book of Jude, and I'm fixing to close. I don't want to be like the Apostle Paul, I believe. Was it in Philippians? It's one book. He said, finally, my brethren, like three times. But look in Jude. Look in verse 18. Jude chapter 1. Only chapter of Jude. Look in verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Uh-oh. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, at the end time, we're to continue. We're to caution. And right here we find both these points made. He said, no matter what anybody else is doing, he said, you build yourself up in the most holy faith and trusting God. And he said, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then he said this, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hanging the garment that is spotted by the flesh. So we're to go win others. We're to caution them, warn them, but we are to win them in Christ. Just because we're living in the last days and we might suffer persecution and listen, the further this thing rocks on, I believe the more persecution we'll serve or that we'll have put upon us. The children of Israel, before they come up out of the land of Egypt, they had more and more put on them. More and more and more. I believe we're living in the last days. You say, why do you believe that? I'm going to show you something in the book of Daniel, and this is it. Daniel chapter 12, and I'll just read it to you. Daniel has seen all that he's seen about the end times, but then in verse 4, God said this, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, I'm a literal interpreter of Scripture. I take the Bible literally until you cannot take it literally. And let me give you the example of that. When the Bible said that Jesus was a door, we understand that Jesus was not a physical door. But yet he hung on Calvary, and they hung him up with three nails. Amen? That he made a door for us to get to God and get to heaven. As I looked at this verse late last night and I thought about that, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. He's talking about the end time there. Do you know how many airplanes take off and land in the world every day? Roughly 100,000 airplanes take off and land somewhere upon this world every day. Reckon we're traveling to and fro. That's just airplanes. That ain't even talking about people on trains and people in cars and people just going to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. And I know there's a lot of, we can make an analogy out of this, but if we look at it literally, he said, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Since, we'll just say from 1900, how much has knowledge been increased? You know, before the steam engine in the mid-1800s, do you realize that man traveled at the same speed that he's always traveled at since the day God created Adam and Eve until Fulton's steam engine, man traveled at the same speed that he always had. Think about that for just a second. We'll say from 1850, I'm not sure when the steam engine come around, 1840, 1850, somewhere in there, and as it began to get perfected on up through there, but we'll even say all the way back to 1850. Imagine what has been accomplished, that knowledge has been increased in that matter of time. You remember all the things that you seen growing up, for you that were older, Dick Tracy's watch that he wore and he could talk. You know, people do that today now. They wear a watch and they talk to it. And it talks to other people. I'm just saying, do you not think we're living in the last days? I believe there are signs of the last days. But then I think the saints need to be busy, because if we're in the last days, we're running out of time. We're out of time. We need to be about it. Let's bow our heads this morning. We won't have no music this morning. But if you need to come and pray, I want you to come.